So, being a father, today's Father's Day, and I take opportunities like Mother's Day and Father's Day to address the importance of parenting in the body of Christ. And today is going to be focused on fathers, but as a father, I have had the wonderful blessing of watching my children grow, and we're at that interesting stage, so pray for us, where our children are kind of transitioning into adulthood. That's an exciting and a scary time as a parent. I think it's just exciting for them. They're like, scary? Nah, they should be, but you know, they're excited. And I've had the opportunity to watch some of the things they have learned. It's always encouraging when you recognize that they learned something. And some of the things that I thought they had learned through observation, I realized that I actually needed to give some instruction. You understand what I'm talking about? Like, for example, I can't tell you how many times growing up they got in a car with me and they saw me drive. You would think they'd never watch me when they learned to drive. The boys did better. Mackenzie, she didn't understand that my car had a turbo. I mean, I drive it all the time. And my goodness, I did not know the turbo could kick in that fast. You know, and one of the other things that you think they would learn by watching, because I have a turbo, I fill up the gas tank frequently. It was hilarious to watch each of the kids the first time I said, well, pull up and fill up. You know, it's on empty almost. You know, fill up the gas tank. And they're like, what side? It's always been the same side. Well, how do I do this? You have watched me I don't know how many times, right? There are certain things that they observed that they did not learn. And I think as parents, that's important to understand that sometimes they're watching us and they just don't get it. We actually have to instruct. Now, there's other times where there was no instruction, there was only observation, and they learned it. I learned this very quickly with our oldest, Joseph. When I was, this was back in the day of flip phones. You guys remember those? Some of you, they're coming back. Some of you have them now. Okay, but back in the day of flip phones, we observed our oldest, Joseph, hitting his face with his phone. And I'm like, what on earth is that kid doing? He would blah, 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 and we're like, why is he doing that? And one day my wife observed. She goes, because I was talking on the phone. I'm like, okay, good. All right, talk to you later. Bye. Click. And I would close the phone because you could hang up, remember, with those flip phones. It just cut the call off if you did that. And I'd hang up with my chin and put it in its little holster thing. I'm like, oh. Things never taught but in or instructed but caught. I observed Preston one day and he was praying. And he started his prayer, gracious Heavenly Father. I'm like, well, that's interesting. That's typically how I pray. I'm like, why are you praying that way? And he said, because that's how you do it. I said, do you understand what it means? And we talked about that. There are certain things that are caught. There are certain things that are taught. And truth be told, they can be for the good or the negative, can't they? I mean, I could stand up here with my head hung on the things that were caught because I did not respond or act correctly as a father. I want to start this morning, and bear with me, I want to share some statistics concerning fatherhood, and this will give you a cultural idea of fatherhood. So bear with me, I'm going to read most of this because I have not memorized all of this. But statistics indicate right now that Fathers have a significant influence on children's faith and overall well-being. You probably thought that or understood that. It says, when fathers are actively involved in their children's lives and faith, it positively impacts the children's likelihood of practicing their faith, but also academic success and overall life outcomes. Here's some things. Children with involved fathers are more likely to get better grades and have better overall academic performance, according to the fathers of the field. Here's some more statistics. Children in father-absent homes account for 71% of high school dropouts. It accounts for 90% of homelessness and runaway children, and 63% of youth suicides. With involved fathers, they're less likely to use drugs, alcohol, or resort to violence. With fathers in the home, they're 80% less likely to spend time in jail. They are 75% less likely to experience teen pregnancy. A significant percentage of children in the United States experience fatherlessness. It's estimated that it ranges between 25 to 33% of children out there experience fatherlessness. It says, if a father is not regularly attending church, even if the mother is, only about 1 in 5 children will become regular churchgoers. Here's an interesting one, which, man, this is not true today. I like this. It says, typically, Father's Day is statistically the Sunday with the lowest average church attendance, according to Lifeway Research Group. Man, you guys just, you changed that, didn't you? I love that. I appreciate that. Thank you, men. Here's a quote I came across. Interestingly enough, this quote was from a book written in 1899, Royal Manhood. It says, in state and church, in public and private, in work for men and work for God, the call is for men of strength. Strong in purpose, strong in action, strong within, strong without. Strong against foes that are seen, strong against foes that are unseen. Strength is the glory of manhood, he writes. Manhood and strength are synonymous. On the contrary, weakness in conviction, in character, in spiritual discipline, in courage, or in endeavor are a damnation of manhood. This sort of weakness begets poverty, crime, sloth, and every form of sin. If one expects to amount to anything in life, he must be strong. Barriers are to be surmounted, discouragement silenced, temptations resisted, and for all this, there is a need: manhood, invincible and strong. The very notion of strength dictates action. It presupposes work. That was written by James Isaac Vance in 1899. I'd like to read the rest of that book. It's interesting. You look at trends and statistics on the internet, and it's depending where you go, you can find different statistics. I came across this. Trends in American Fatherhood by Pew Research. More dads are staying at home to care for their kids. Dads see parenting as central to their identity. Work-family balance is a challenge for many fathers. We know that. Dads are much more involved in childcare than they were 50 years ago. And while they are spending more time with their children, many dads feel they're not doing enough. As we approach this morning and Father's Day, we recognize that fathers who recognize Christ as the one who laid down his life and submit to him, prioritize the spiritual wellness over their own desires. These types of fathers will disciple and discipline their children through the reading of God's Word, raising them up, teaching them to serve in the family of God. Our contemporary culture has minimized and marginalized the crucial role men play in life and family. That you don't have to look far to see that. Turn on the news. Turn on any sitcom out there. However, the important role of fathers in raising godly, healthy, confident children cannot be overstated. But what does the Scripture say? I didn't come this morning to give you statistics. Let's be honest, statistics can be skewed, can they not? And to relegate your role as a father to numbers, it's an indication maybe of the culture, but to have you come on a Sunday morning and say, because of these numbers, I'm going to preach one way. Shame on me if I do that. It's good to have a temperature of what the culture is. But let's be honest, men. We don't want to be swayed by statistics, because statistics change every day. Each of you are your own man. Each of us have our own families. And each of us are responsible to God. As such, I would be a fool to encourage you to engage as fathers because of numbers. That's never spurred me on. It's shocked me at times. And the numbers may or may not even be relevant to you or your situation. Obviously not, because, my goodness, we have a great attendance here this morning, don't we? So let's not allow ourselves to be dictated by numbers, but rather our responsibility to God and His Word. One of my favorite verses on parenting is in Proverbs 22:6. I like it because it's straightforward. I like getting to the point. It's interesting. When I ask my wife a question, usually it's in the form of a yes-no answer. Somehow, there are times she can tell a whole story on a yes-no answer. I like getting to the point, so we're going to look at this. It says in 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What are we to do? We're to train our children in the Lord. It's right there. And start when they're young. It doesn't say train your adult child in the Lord. It's too late. We train them when they're young. I love that we have a newborn already in church back there. That's awesome. That's starting young right there. But we start them when they're young. A paraphrase of this was, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. I love that, because they're flexible. You can train them. You can guide them, direct them. Here's another direct one for you. Turn over to Deuteronomy. I've read this every Father's Day, every Mother's Day, I think, that I've been here. You should know this by now, but we're going to read it anyway. And I added a few verses before the message so I could get it all in there. It says in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel." By the way, that just means listen. Pay attention. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them." Here's how often you should talk, speak of God's words. Ready? When you sit. When you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way. And when you lie down. And when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. That's what Scripture says to do with God's word. Speak them when you're sitting, when you're walking, at all times. It's to be integrated into life. Now, if we are to teach, if we are to instruct, if we are to train our children up, where do we start? One of my habits formed early in my childhood, greatly because of my mother, she forced me to listen to the Proverbs every day. That's the kind of home I had to grow up in. Every day she would sit me down and read the proverb of the day. Some days I tuned her out, much to my folly. Other days I listened. A few months ago I was in that tradition again, and it was the fourth of the month, and I was reading Proverbs 4. It's interesting, I've read Proverbs 4 who knows how many times. I've heard it even more times. But it struck me that day. I'm like, oh, there's my Father's Day message. This is beautiful. This says it absolutely crystal clear. And so today we are going to look at Proverbs 4. I'd encourage you, turn in Proverbs. It should be a book of your Bible that is worn out. If you go to it every month, I mean, my goodness, it should be worn out by now. But Proverbs chapter 4 advances a statement that says the very notion of strength dictates action. It presupposes work. As we look at Proverbs 4 today, there is action that will need to be taken. There is work to be done. And don't think that this message is just for fathers. Fathers, I'm speaking directly to you today, but let's consider this as a whole, as a church family. Instructing children takes action. There were lots of people here this last week with VBS. There's lots of instruction that was going on. And if you did not do it with action, well, it didn't work. It takes work. It takes effort. But there is fruit. And what was really cool this week is to start to see God's word click with some of those kids. What's amazing as a dad is when you hear your son pray and he understands why he's saying, "Gracious Heavenly Father." Wow. It's amazing when you have conversations with your kids and they're saying they're doing something not because of me as their dad, but because of the standard their Heavenly Father has set forth. There is fruit. It's great. This is really good for a pastor. It's therapeutic. Proverbs 4 is broken into three sections. So we get 3 points. Great. The first one is verses 1 through 9. Let me read them for you. Listen to them, look at them on the screen, and consider what God is saying to us here. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. As we look at this proverb, first, I want you to understand wisdom's worth. Wisdom's worth. We pursue her as something of worth. And did you notice that the very first thing was here? Dads, moms, aunts, uncles, grandparents, men, women, we have to speak. Don't assume just because we pull up to the gas pump 10 times a week that they get it. Don't assume just because they watch you do something in your life, watch you do a practice which they need to see, that they get it. We have to be willing to speak. What we say matters. And when we speak, make sure that it's sound teaching. I can't tell you how many times I wish I could go back and take back some of the foolish words that I said. Because those words teach too. But we need to challenge our children. We need to challenge them to pay attention. I don't know about you as dads, but there are times as a father, I'm like, whoa, 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 son, daughter. Actually, I don't call him son, daughter. Well, son, I do, not daughter. I'm like, sweetie. It goes over better. But I'm like, pay attention to what I'm saying. Because have you ever noticed when your kid is not paying attention to you? They have that look. But there are times when you speak, they need to pay attention. And here he is saying, pay attention. Focus. Don't lose it. Don't abandon what I am saying. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. We need to stress the importance when we are teaching the wisdom of God to our children. And hopefully in our lives, it's spoken as well. I love that when we read this opening part, these verses, we see it's generational. Did you notice that? Solomon, by the way, is the one writing chapter 4. And when he says to his son, pay attention, these are the words, not just mine, but of your grandfather. It's interesting, sometimes grandpa's words hold even more weight, don't they? These are the words your father taught me, and now I am going to teach you. In other words, one day you will teach your son these things. So pay attention, because you are going to pass these things on. It's kind of that Deuteronomy process, isn't it? As we go through life, we teach our children. And as they have children, they teach their children. God challenging his people, do not forget my words, but pass them on. We need to make sure the truths here are being passed on. Don't just assume that because they hold this book or they've seen you read this book that they know this book. It is your responsibility to teach and to train them verbally. You're like, I thought that was your job, Pastor. I get to do it for 30, 40 minutes on a Sunday. You truly think that's enough for your child? I think not. It's not enough for you. Why would it be enough for your child? When you have life with them. Oh, to carry this on. And did you see how he says, acquire wisdom. Search after it. Go for it. Invest in it. And you know how you do that? Acquire wisdom. That's the beginning of it. We go after her as something of value. And I love that it creates almost a relationship. You know, Dad, sometimes we get to the point of life where, and some of you have younger children, you're like, not there yet, don't want to think about it yet. But one day you're going to be teaching about relationships and how to pursue or be pursued. And here with wisdom, it's a pursuit. And any father would be a fool to tell his son to pursue the girl. Once you get the girl, stop the pursuit. If that's your advice, it's not biblical, and it's bad advice. It's a day in, day out pursuit. It's greater than, oh, than anything. And did you look at verse 8 and 9? There is an outcome of the pursuit. I pursued my wife. Oh, man, there was a beautiful outcome. It was called a wedding. And then it was called life together and family and all of that. There is a wonderful blessing of the pursuit. And here he lists that there is exaltation. We want that, don't we? Wisdom is not something your child's going to get unless they hear it. They need to hear it. They need to implement it into their life. It needs to be done through conversation. How many of your conversations in your home point back to the scriptures? How many of your activities draw in Christ? It's kind of fun to do. It also holds you accountable as a parent. The first section deals with the heart. The heart's love and desire for wisdom. The second section deals with the head. The thinking. Logic. Yeah, wisdom is logical too. Verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings. That means they have to hear your sayings first. And the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of righteousness is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. I love this portion right here because it talks about wisdom's walk. This is an ongoing thing. This is action. And once again, he challenges his son to hear what the father is saying. Listen to these words. And as you listen, think. Think about the how and the why. This is important. You're instructing your child on the path to take for life. And some of us are like, I'm struggling to know that path myself. Well, you know what? This is a great place to start. But as they go along the path of life, that's why in graduation cards, there's one verse and one verse only I put. It is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There has to be a pursuit of the heart. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, not most, not some, not the comfortable ones, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. It doesn't say He will make your path easy. But He makes it straight. It is our responsibility as parents, as fathers, to direct our children on the right path. I cringe when I hear a father say, well, I'm just going to let my child choose the path they want. You fool. You fool. And I can say that boldly because God calls that individual a fool. You don't do that. You know the path. You direct them on the path. You guide them. You show them. It's like asking a four-year-old, what do you want to eat? Cake, ice cream, chips. What about some protein and vegetables? Some of the kids are laughing like, what's wrong with eating that? Come on. Nothing in moderation. I love that when we read this section, did you notice how many times he's like telling his sons, do not do this, do not do this, do not avoid that, run from that. Turn away from that. I mean, he is telling them, don't. How many of you have ever told your child, don't? How many of you ever given the response, because I said so? I have too. And you know, I read this and I felt guilty about saying that. You know, sometimes we have to say that because it's quick, it's instant. We have to just do it because I said, I'll explain later. But we need to explain later. Don't expect them just to do something because you said so. Obedience because you said it, yes. But we need to explain the reasoning, the why. I love that verses 16 and 17 give the reason. He says, don't go this way. Don't do that. Don't avoid this. Turn away from that. But then he says, here's why. Because these individuals, this path leads to these things. That's why you don't do it. Give our children the respect of explaining why. If they don't understand the why, they're going to probably try it so they can figure it out. And that's a horrible way to discover the why. And truth be told, you're probably telling them not to do something because you did it. How many times have you said do not because you know why you should not? Right? We do. And experience is a great teacher, but it's a harsh teacher. And if we can explain the why and allow the reason, parents, dads, to be greater than you. One of the things my children grew up in the church, it's kind of a thing that happens when you're a pastor's kid. I vowed never, and they have yet to hear these words from me unless I'm giving an illustration in a sermon, but I have never told my child, you will do this because I'm the pastor. What a lousy reason. That I would want my children to behave one way because of who I am? No. I want you to behave this way because this is the standard God set for you. And you represent God as His child. And that's why I want you to behave that way. Make it greater than yourself. Because dads, believe it or not, there's going to be days your kid's going to be like, then I'll do it because I really don't care for you right now, Dad. The why is important. And incentive is good too. Verses 18 and 19 give great incentive, don't they? It pours out and allow them to see why and to see the incentive. You do this, and this is the outcome. This is the result of these actions. Allow them to do that and challenge their hearts and their head, but then there is a warning to heed, and that is the final verses. Follow along, verse 20. And we close with these words, our final point. You're like, yay. My son, give attention to my words. Three times he said, pay attention to what I'm hearing, saying. And then he says again, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze fix straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. There is a warning. There is a watch that needs to occur. Wisdom's watch. We need to stress the words and the sayings to our children because those words guard and protect. We can't be complacent in this area. And I'm speaking to fathers, grandfathers, uncles, men, women, mothers, grandmothers, aunts. I am speaking to all of us. We need to speak into our young people's lives, their hearts, their heads. It's interesting. The implications of guarding what is said, protecting it, but there's also the watching that can be seen. When our words are spoken, our actions will be watched. It's amazing. The first time I told my kids not to speed when they were learning to drive, their focus was really, really close on my speedometer. Dad, you just told me not to speed. How come you're speeding? Dad, you've told us not to gossip. How come you're talking about that person? Oh. Dad, you teach forgiveness. How come you're holding a grudge with that individual? Dad, you say praying is important. How come you didn't pray before we engaged in this trip today? Dad, are you really eating before praying? No, I prayed silently. Have you ever given that answer because you're guilty? Oh, that's silly. I love what Howard Hendricks says about teaching. He says, you teach what you know. If you're going to teach this, you have to know it. He says, you teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. There's some that say, I will teach all day long, but they do not live it. There are some that say, I will live it all day long, but I don't want to teach it. I'm sorry, parenting is not that way. You have to do both. Being a dad is not that way. You're like, well, I'm one of those silent dads. I'm sorry, that's not biblical. Speak up. Talk to your children. Teach them. You know, it really just means we do life with them. We talk. We walk. And if we're talking and walking with them, we're going to mess up. And when we mess up, we apologize, we repent. We show them that we go to God and say, God, I was wrong. Please forgive my sin. We call sin, sin. But we live life with them. And then we show them how we refocus our attention back on God. I'm not calling dads to be perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We can't be perfect. But we follow a faithful, perfect Father. So let's point our children to Him. Let's do life. Dads need to have their children both hear and see the instruction. So dads, I want to talk with you just a moment. Some of you are trying to figure out this dad thing because it's on the horizon or it's right here all of a sudden. Some of you are in the middle of this dad thing going, I still don't have it figured out. Some of you have kids graduating and you're like, I still don't have it figured out. Some of you have grown kids out of the house and you're like, I still don't have it figured out. That's all right. We continue to figure it out together. That's what I love about the family of God. But here's the one thing I know, dads. You can't teach them true wisdom if you don't know true wisdom. God's Word. And I know it's going to sound really cliche, especially coming from a pastor. But your time in God's Word is vital to how you father. It is. I have done really good at moments fathering because I was in this deep. And I have done poorly at moments, and typically I was struggling as a father because there was difficult moments of parenting. Yeah, those come too. Sometimes they just hit you blindside. But those moments struggled more because I wasn't in God's Word. We have to be close to our Heavenly Father. We have to hear what He is saying. And the only way we hear what He's saying is going to His Word. Taking time to just talk to our Heavenly Father about being a father. And crying out to Him, God, I don't know. I don't understand. Help me. He's faithful. Dads, we are vitally important. Men, we are vitally important. And I want to challenge myself to set the example. I'll challenge you to set the example in your home. You lead in your home, not based on some statistic out there, but based on what God's Word says. I want to just pray over the dads in this room right now. In closing, I want to wish you guys happy Father's Day. I want to thank the men that have stepped in to father when a father was absent. We need men like that. Our young people need men like that. So I just want to close our time in a prayer. Heavenly Father,